Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 341st episode of the Quarantine Cast, recorded on August 18th, 2021. Today, do we have any topics today?
Not really, no.
No.
Oh.
What do you got, Lucas?
Does the rise of OnlyFans mean that it is easier than ever before or more difficult than ever before to be a porn star?
Depends on what you count as a porn star.
Exactly.
Depends on what you count as easy.
Is what I'm asking.
Easier. It's relative, according to Lucas.
Yeah.
Easier or more difficult than it was? I don't know. Yeah, as a porn star, someone who has been in a pornographic film, is it like someone who's bona fide, like a celebrity kind of from their performances? Is it anyone who's done nudity? Are they porn star? Like, what's the cutoff?
And also, I would say it's both easier. It's easier in one way and harder in two ways. I think it's easier to become a porn star because there's definitely now a very accessible framework to become a video sex worker that anybody can do. Literally anyone can set up an account and make videos and now, you know, put them on the internet for people to buy, whereas before you had to be a performer and usually have an agent and all that kind of shit. I'd say it's harder because now instead of competing with like people in the sex worker industry, you're competing against millions of people that have OnlyFans accounts.
Right.
And then also more difficult because you don't have any sort of protective framework to try to like help you adjust and make decisions. Whereas if you're a porn star, like that's a job. If you're on, like, I assume there's like human resources and shit. Like if you're just on OnlyFans, you're completely on your own.
Yeah. That kind of makes me want to go on a tangent about what unions are like in the adult film industry, but
I don't think there are.
There
unions.
Should be.
I don't think there's a. Well, sure, every single industry should have unions,
yeah.
But very few of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like porn star should be kind of someone who's gained actual celebrity
right.
and notoriety from their movies, and not just anyone who's done porn or
mm-hmm.
anyone with an OnlyFans. So,
and you wonder now that pool's bigger, is that bar raised even further?
I don't know if the pool's bigger
though.
You don't
think so? Okay.
You know? I mean, I don't consider someone who just has an OnlyFans and does, like, lewd pictures to be a porn star, so...
I think Lucas is using porn star as, like, the colloquial term for someone who is a porn... a performer.
Well, like, that in itself is a complexity to the definition. Like, is a porn star anybody who's ever done porn, or is it a noteworthy adult performer? Yeah.
Right. And I kind of come down on the someone noteworthy. And so therefore...
Okay.
Yeah. Not so much.
Okay. So would it, like, porn... Okay, so by Ryan's definition, you know, there's porn star, like a... In the same way, like an A-list celebrity. You can be an actor without being, like, an A-list celebrity.
Right.
You can be a adult performer, let's call them, without being a porn star. I'd say it's easier to be... It's being an adult performer is more accessible than it used to be. Being a porn star might even, like, be harder than it was before just because there's more competition.
Okay.
It's fragmented.
Well, you know what?
Ooh, intersectionality.
Now there's streamers and other competition that never used to have to be worried about. Used to be just the Bang Bros, and that's it. There was four choices.
Oh my god.
Now there's so
what is
much.
The Bang Bros relationship to the Bash Brothers? Are they friends, rivals?
Is Bang Bros short for Bang Brothers?
I assume so.
Yeah. Also, are there canonically Bang Brothers? Like, were they real people and they started a company?
I hope so.
Hi, I'm Josh Bang, and this is my brother, Eric Bang. And we're the Bang Bros.
Bang Bros is a pornographic film studio operating out of Miami, Florida. It was founded in 2000 by Kasim. I don't know who that is. When he was a student at University of Florida. Rose to prominence with its flagship sites, bangbus.com and assparade.com.
Assparade.
Wow. No. You know what? All shit. Right. Fair.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorite jokes in Silicon Valley is when, you know, they have like a porn convention, mm-hmm. you know, with actual, you know, the people who run the business side at the convention. So you think it's going to be, you know, some way over the top crazy event, but it's, you know, very buttoned up people in suits and everything. And in front of them at the convention is the nameplate for the website that they represent. And yeah, it's like just fucking increasingly more ridiculous names as they're just talking about like quarterly yields and how they can better improve outreach and whether 4K is necessary in their industry and like serious business topics. But it's just like, hi, Mark Grayson from 4dicks1vag.com. I just want to touch on what the representative said for you. Like, you know, just, it is kind of funny. So yeah, that's
pretty
much
it. What
do
we feel like the ceiling for VR integration is in our industry? Is this worth pursuing?
There is no ceiling to the moon. Or yeah, like all the AVN awards. Like, God. 2010 X-Biz Award. Gonzo Series of the Year. Big tits, round asses. Just
one of my favorite, I don't follow them, but I do follow someone that retweets their shit all the time. There's a Twitter account called Japanese Adult Video Titles.
Oh, yeah.
I
think they went quiet for a while, or at the very least whoever I was following stopped retweeting them.
Oh, no, there's a lot of really recent stuff on here. And a lot of these are really long titles. Jesus Christ, there's some shit in here. I don't want to, like, make this podcast more gratuitous than it has to be, so I'm not going to read them off. But if you're listening and you want a good laugh, go on JAV Titles on Twitter. Some funny shit.
I'm now on the in the news section of their Wikipedia. In 2019, Bang Bros completed the purchase of PornWikiLeaks.com, which was known for publishing real names and information of actresses and actors in the pornography industry. The minute that they took control of the data and domain, they destroyed and wiped all the information associated with the site.
Class so, act, Bang Bros.
That's kind
Good
of a
move.
Cool random thing to do to protect their performers. I do remember when they made the offer to the Heat to get the naming rights to the arena, and they suggested the Bang Bros Center, which is abbreviates to the BBC, which is pretty fucking golden. I guess they have a legal dispute with Mia Khalifa. Oh. They allege that she's been making false and defamatory allegations, and then created a website called factsbeatfiction.com, which reminds me of the most recent John Oliver episode where, God, who's the company that made OxyContin? That's now, it was a Purdue Pharma. Yeah, Purdue Pharma made a website trying to do the same thing, but they got like a .info domain. Like, you know, just like, it's like decideforyourself.info or something. So then John Oliver bought the decideforyourself.com because he's like, look, if you're going to make this website to try to defend your honor, you better get the goddamn .com. Like, not, you can't just cheap out on something like this. So he bought the .com and then put a bunch of information like going against Purdue Pharma and everything like that. So
that's pretty good. That's really fucking funny.
All right, I take my previous praise of Bang Bros and dial it down back to tepid. Hey, that was a good thing you did. Yeah.
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's possible that they're right.
Maybe,
you know?
Yeah.
Although companies are very rarely in the right, I do not know anything about the specific case.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Mia Khalifa had been pretty public about how she made surprisingly little money for her fame while she was working in the industry. And I imagine Bang Rose.
But that's because she had a Vincent Van Gogh situation. Like, she wasn't famous when she was active. She got famous after she retired, basically. So, yeah, it was one of those awkward things where it's like, well, as is standard, we just paid them for their performance, and since she wasn't a big name when she was performing, she didn't command a very much salary, and then, nothing was negotiated into her deal to make money off of the revenue from the videos.
It's one of those things where, like, I don't know much about this situation. I'm not a big porn legal dispute follower. But, like, I think it's one of those things where the person, like, making the claims might not have, like, an actual legal leg to stand on. But, like, it does highlight a lot of issues with the industry, like, that type of thing. Or, like, yeah, Mia Khalifa is not going to win a lawsuit in the situation. But things should probably be different than they are.
No, it's kind of like the... I don't know. It wouldn't be surprising to me if it were similar to the call her daddy dispute that happened a while ago, where, legally, you don't have any claim to be making more money here, but in a better world, you probably would be.
Yep.
That being said, there's like millions of men that are in prison for weed possession over the last like couple of decades that we all know shouldn't be there, but just because of technicalities they are, even though it's legal in a ton of places now to fucking sell it. So there's like billboards and TV ads to like come buy our weed, meanwhile there's people that just had an eighth on them and are now in prison for 20 years.
Technicality, also it being built into the economy of some of these states that they can't fight fires or maintain their roads without slave labor wages going to prisoners. Like,
yeah.
Keeping it intersectional, this systemic justice reform. Yeah.
It's just one of those issues that I've always found tough to deal with. It was the same thing with the Dave Chappelle dispute.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, when you sign a contract to something, I just don't know what the alternative can be. Like, in a lot of cases, like, these companies absolutely can be cool and can be like, we'll cut you in, even though we didn't promise you any of that. But, like, in the fucking rat race that capitalism provides, they really can't do that. Like, they're literally not allowed to. A lot of times people would lose their positions to just randomly give away, like, a bunch of money to someone because they, you know, feel that they deserve some sort of claim to it when they made a deal with this person and that person wasn't coerced into it. Like, they just signed a contract because that was the best thing that they could do at the time. So it's impossible under, our current system to, like, really fault someone for just doing what the contract said and what a person agreed to. Yeah, if they, like, held him at gunpoint and said, sign it or we'll kill your family. It's like, okay, sure, let's take into account that. But
am I misremembering? I thought the initial issue over the Chappelle show was that contract ran out and Dave Chappelle wanted a lot more money for the next season or two, whatever the next set would be, but Comedy Central refused to play ball. I could be misremembering.
No, that was the original thing. And Comedy Central really, really played ball, but Dave Chappelle had, like, moral objections to the type of content that he was making, so
he
basically bailed on the industry. The new one was just, like, Viacom is selling my show to streamers, and I don't get any money off of that. If you want to work, like, maintain... And he put pressure the way that he's legally obligated to, like, and it worked. Like, he was able to kind of get control back of his intellectual property that he signed away by being like, look, if you want to work with me in the future, don't air the Chappelle show. Like, don't put it on your streaming platform. Like, I will not have a relationship with anyone that is, you know, paying Viacom money for my show that I feel like I deserve money from. And it worked. Like, and it's like, I can't fault you, Dave Chappelle, for doing your thing, but I guess I just don't really fault the company for like just carrying out a contract that you signed either. Like, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that a random person was able to win over able to beat a multinational conglomerate, but
right,
you know, I don't consider that an example of an evil company doing evil things in comparison with plenty of examples of evil companies doing evil things.
Viacom, totally different reasons for being evil.
Any company, totally different reasons for being evil. You could argue that companies have an original sin, which is that they're supposed to put profits and shareholders above the common good of humanity. Like,
it's the only
you can argue
that
that's literally original sin. Like, that any company automatically is
the
evil.
Second we're doing well enough to turn this podcast into an LLC, we're going straight chaotic evil.
There's companies that do it. Like, they call them, like, stakeholders, which means that, like, employees are considered as valuable as shareholders, and, you know, the customers are considered as valued as shareholders and employees and blah, 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 blah. There's a model for it. It's just no one would ever do that because
not
it's
to scale.
You're losing out on money.
Yeah.
And it's the difference, like, private corporations can do whatever the fuck they want because they don't have any responsibility towards anyone else. Like, they can just say, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you decide, like, I'm going to actually pay my employees, like, what they earn in comparison to, like, how the company is operating, and make sure you take extra steps to treat them well, and, you know, like, make sure there are ethical things in place when it comes to signing your contracts, you just better not be publicly trading it, because you will fucking die.
Yeah, you'll get destroyed. Your stock will hit zero. But, yeah, no, you can... Like, imagine a world where a company decides, like, capitalism's fake. Like, we're going to stop removing, like, separating the workers from the means of production, and we're going to actually just pay the employees of the company the profits. Like, it's kind of, I mean, I know co-ops are kind of that. Like, that's as close as you get. What's the gas station in Madison that's, like, a co-op?
I have no clue.
Fuck.
Uh-huh.
It's big in Middleton. Yeah. I assumed that maybe it made it to Hilldale area. But yeah, like that's basically the model. Is just like employees make all the money.
Cenex?
No, that's not it. I don't know. I guess Willie Street too, the grocery store.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, what is that?
I have no idea what you're talking about. That place might not exist anymore. Like,
that would be
bought
really depressing.
Every single gas station, basically, in Madison.
Every gas station, yeah, bought up by Quick Trip. That's true, and would be
there were
really
Stop
depressing.
And Goes was like a big thing in Madison, and then they got bought out by Quick Trip, and there are no more Stop and Goes anymore.
Oh.
Middleton Farmers Co-op? That doesn't sound familiar, but...
Yeah, no, that doesn't... I saw that, and then, like, Cenex was attached to it, but I don't think that's it.
Maybe Cenex bought it.
Yeah, that is a good chance that co-op might not exist anymore. Because the co-op was just like, shit, we just got offered a ton of money to sell out. Fuck these people. Let's go. I'm gonna retire.
We're not morally opposed to making money. We just think it should be evenly distributed once we have it.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, in a private company, you could just have the owner is the CEO. So the CEO makes what a CEO deserves, which is a lot less than a normal CEO makes. And then everyone else makes the amount of money that they put in terms of labor. And bam. Everyone survives. But that's not okay. That's not allowed.
I love the narrative arc of this podcast. We started out by talking about Bang Bros, their connections to people, and now we're talking about labor issues and theoretical socialism. Practical socialism.
I think it's been pretty connected. I think it made total sense.
It's not even theoretical socialism. Yeah, that's like practical socialism that's being put in play by not a totalitarian state. That's being put in play by people who are like, you know what, maybe I don't have to make $16 trillion a year. Maybe I could afford to make a little less and let everyone live a livable life. That'd be cool.
It's just, you see the shit where, like, these people, they don't even want the amount of money that they make. They're trying to find ways to burn off all that cash because there's just literally nothing they could ever do with it. And that's why they buy a $300 billion yacht that is the size of a goddamn skyscraper with two helicopters on it, because they're just, man, fuck it. The moment that you can buy a planet, that's what they're going to be using their money on, because they have nothing else to do with it. Because really, like, the most you could ever really spend is like $10 million. Yeah, it's just, it's bullshit. Just
wasting their money going into not even orbit and saying that was space.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that that was something I wanted to ask. Tie it full circle. Uh-huh. Space tourism is starting to look like it's going to be a thing, you know, eventually. You talked about, you know, what are the limits of VR porn? How long until we get a porn video that's shot in orbit?
Aren't they doing a Tom Cruise movie in orbit?
Oh, yeah.
Like, in space? Am I wrong?
I think they did that thing where you, like, go up in a plane and then dive bomb and make it, like, zero gravity.
I know...
Tom Cruise plots movie to shoot in space with Elon Musk's SpaceX. Yeah, still in the works.
Yeah, they talked about it. Tom Cruise and Elon said that'd be cool, and that's it. That's as far as it's gotten.
I'm glad I was...
I'm serious, though. How long until, like, three dudes with cameras and a couple of porn stars head up on Virgin Galactic and shoot a porno?
I think they've already...
Zero gravity.
I think they've already done a porn shoot in one of those planes that simulates zero gravity.
Yeah, but it's for, like, really brief times.
Yeah, you get...
It's like, not I good mean, no, they have a seconds. Director.
It's a good gimmick.
They have a director attached and a budget and stuff. Doug Lehman is going to direct, and it's a $200 million budget. Like, it's a movie that is happening. Jesus. So if they're doing it, like, yeah, porn's not going to be
fucking fun. Wood Rocket people are like, all right, guys, we're doing a parody of this one. We got to commit.
Yeah. I'm watching, speaking of, because you were talking about, like, billionaires buying yachts because they literally don't know what to do with the money. I'm watching... QAnon Into the Storm or whatever, the HBO documentary about, that was the thing that I settled on yesterday. And it's interesting because, yeah, the guy who owns 8chan, 8chan is basically his yacht. Like, it's just his, yeah, whatever, I kind of like it. It doesn't make any money for me, and in fact, it costs money, but, you know, I just kind of like it, so... I own it. The creator of 8chan was like, yeah, it's, think of it like a boat. A boat doesn't make revenue, but you kind of like it, so you and you have more money than you kind of know what to do with, so you just buy it.
I mean, most boats don't cause acts of terrorism and the U.S. Capitol building to be stormed, but okay.
Yeah, no, it's not. He's not saying it's good that he's running 8chan. He's saying that's why he's running 8chan. So he likes it.
Well, fuck that guy then. But thank you all for listening to the 341st episode. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok for highlight clips. Voluntaryviewing@gmail.com is our email for questions and business opportunities. Actually, link in the description down below to help a collection of great progressive causes. Support us on Patreon or give us money directly through the Anchor podcast platform. And lastly, I'm Lucas DeRuyter. My Twitter is @LucasDeRuyter. Follow me there for all of my writing, and have a great day.